Hello?
To the collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
Hello, and welcome to Life of a Lifer. This is Cecilia Conley, and today we have a great interview. I have been wanting to have a woman, somebody that is considered actually a lifer, in our show. And today I'm happy to have Karen in the line. And I'm happy because she's giving us her time. I'm not happy because of her situation. And I would like Karen to introduce herself. Karen, can you please introduce yourself?
And my name is Karen Brown, and I'm incarcerated at the Kentucky Correctional Institution for Women. I was sentenced to life without parole for 25 years for complicity to murder. I met the parole board 3 times, and this February I received a servette on that life sentence at the age of 57. And I've done 35 plus years in prison.
35 plus. So you're saying that you have gone to the parole board, but you haven't gotten parole, right?
Right. The first time I met the parole board, I got a 5-year deferment and told to do programs, which I was in. And the second time I met them, I got a 5-year deferment. And then I met them a third time, and they served me out. So, which means that they're not going to give me another chance to meet the board.
I have heard that getting parole is very difficult in this country, especially in some states. So could you give me and our listeners an understanding of why, what's the reason why they decide that you are not eligible anymore?
Well, when the parole board serves you out on life sentence, it means you don't have another chance. The only reason they used on my paper was it was a violent crime and that my victims were against me. Now, the Kentucky parole board guidelines from the legislation say that they're supposed to look at 16 different things, but they didn't pay attention to those things. Like, I don't have any criminal history. I've never even had a speeding ticket. I finished every educational and self-help program that they've asked me to do. I have one write-up, or what some prisons call infractions. I have one in 35 years. So what stands out in Kentucky recently has been, if you have victims, which you're always going to have in a violent crime, they're not going to give you parole. If you have victims, they'll stand up against you. It seems to be the most important factor. And while I realize definitely that their pain is important and their pain should always be important, this is called a correctional facility. And the parole board's mission statement says they're supposed to consider public safety and rehabilitation, but they're not doing that in the state of Kentucky. They've served out more people on a life sentence in the last year than they have in the last 5 or 10 years.
Wow. I am
not
sorry.
A second chance.
I am sorry that this is happening. I honestly feel 35 years. Okay. If the person shows change, 35 years is too much. Everybody knows, I said it very openly, I am against life sentences, even sentencing longer than 20 years. I feel that after 20 years, if a person has not changed, that's a different thing. But as most of you folks, after 20 years, you are a new person, especially if you were involved in positive programs. So can you please explain me all the positive things that you have been doing with your life the past 35 years?
Well, I have 4 associate degrees. I have a BA in biology. My friends and family paid for me to also complete a master's in Christian counseling. I've finished vocational programs like Microsoft, cable technology, building apartments and maintenance. Then I've done a lot of the moral recognition classes, like anger management, prison safety. I've done anything that you could ask me to do. And I have to say, not to give a shout out to prisons or anything, but this prison has done its job. They have allowed programs to come in here that will help rehabilitate us. They've given me every opportunity. And you have to choose rehabilitation yourself. They don't make you take, these programs. They recommend them. But they've done a good job supplying things to real estate. It's just that the floor was not paying attention to people that should have done these things.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. Most of the guys that we talked to, they always complain about, not complain, basically just they're very upfront on how the institution where they are at, they're not really willing or trying to do put in place programs that are positive. So it's good to know that despite the deferral board is definitely need some work, it's good to know that at least the place that you are at, you can have, I feel, something to look forward at, right? It's very important, right?
I didn't understand your last question.
Ah, yes. So at least you have something to look forward. Like if you have programs, at least you say, okay, this is giving my purpose. That doesn't mean that you should stay there forever. And I definitely don't agree with life sentences. But it's good to know that the institution that where you are, you have things available to you, which should be the case for everybody.
Right, and like you say, after 20 years, I mean, I did just finish my master's here recently because I wanted to keep busy with something positive. But like you said, after 20 years, if you haven't changed and you haven't taken advantage of improving yourself, you age out in the prison system. I mean, it becomes nothing but punishment at that point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, and I'm very blunt, very honest about the situation. There are some people that have been here as long as me who still do drugs, who have hits put on people, who are involved in the wrong thing. And, you know, but even those people eventually may rehabilitate themselves and have different behavior. You know, for a parole board to take your sentence away, they basically re-sentence me. Life without parole was not even a sentence when my time was submitted. Mike Berry said that I should have parole after 25 years. But an appointed parole board is saying, well, we're not giving it to you. We're not giving it to you. We're not giving it to you. So basically, they're giving them that power to rescind them. And I think everybody has the propensity to change. I think every human being with enough passion, with enough opportunity, with enough space, with enough journey in the walk can change. And I think that's what we should be about.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about clemency. I know that Jim, who is your friend, he's helping you with a clemency case. What is the current status of that?
Well, it's not the only avenue that we have, really. You know, to approach mm-hmm. the governor at some point to show him my record, my file, my support, my goals that I set for my future, and, you know, try to reach a governor that would take a deep look at not only my case, but maybe other people that deserve a chance in life. And so Mr. Peterson and my family and friends that have stood by me for years are trying to gather support. They have a petition started out there on change.org also. Just trying to gather support to try to give me a second chance in life. And clemency is probably the only way that I have for that right now.
Yeah. Okay, Ben. So let me ask you something. Let's say that things end up working out, hopefully, soon. How do you see yourself the day that you get out? What are your plans? What are you going to try to accomplish?
Mm-hmm. I have my first day goal, of course, would be to gather lots of hugs from my family and friends and just kind of take a deep breath. My next state goal would probably be get IDs that I would need to start living a life in society. Then I would have a 1-week goal of going to job interviews and getting different IDs that I would need along the way. But I have job opportunities lined up. The school that I got my master's from offered me a full-time job from home. The Goodwill Services here in Kentucky has offered me a job if I get out. And one job that I really want to take serious too is music ministry. I want to reach young people through music and testimony. You know, I want to be a help. I don't want to just be blessed with something and not pay it forward. I think that's very important. I've done that since I've been here. I've had many people write back and say, Karen, if it weren't for you, if it weren't for you. I'd be back if it weren't for you. So that's very important to me. I have employment lined up and with the Goodwill Services, and I also have employment lined up with the Hands of God Church that offers degrees in theology. I was going to write devotionals and share and grade papers for them. That's where I graduated from. And I also have a music ministry. I started it in here. I've led praise and worship since 1999, and I've kind of used music to reach people. So I'd like to do that, too. I really want to help young people stay off this path. It's very important to me. And I have done that. I've talked to college students many times. Four different colleges bring their students here, and I talk to them on like a panel discussion. I've also worked in a program called Books Behind Bars, where they bring troubled grade school students. Well, some of them were still 16, and they were still in eighth grade because they didn't take academics seriously. So I've taken advantage of things that they would let me do in here that would prepare me for life out there. So
I am smiling right now. I really like that. You're turning this negative into a positive, and then you are doing something meaningful. Not only that is meaningful for you, but meaningful for other kids. I would love to hear more about your music program. Are you able to record music in time?
At the chapel services and in my own room, I have a keyboard that one of my friends had bought me years ago. So that mm-hmm. I share either music on my wing where I live, or I share music at the chapel. Mostly. That's where probably 85% of I share my music out of the chapel.
Oh, that sounds really, really nice. I heard
Archie. Huh? It's been a lifesaver. Music's been a lifesaver for me. It really has. That and my family and friends, it's really carried me over the years.
Yes. Well, the Sign Conviction, which is basically the social enterprise that started this podcast, Life of a Lifer, we have our motto is Art Changes Lives, and art is music too. Our founder, Taylor Conley, who is serving life without parole, he was incarcerated at the age of 20. He has done some music, but mainly artwork, and he says the same. Art changed his life. It's going to give him a purpose, show him discipline, hard work, patience, right? So I'm happy to hear that you also have a positive experience with art. Okay. So is there anything else that you... Yes, tell me, Karen.
Well, I wanted to share something that I read out of this book I read called The Master Plan by Chris Wilson. That's a wonderful
uh-huh.
book. They did a really good job in that book. Mr. Peterson... told me to read it and supplied copies here for us. And some of my friends supplied copies at the chapel library. And I think the best advice in that book and the best line in that book for people that are incarcerated and for people who have family members or friends that are incarcerated or people that are interested in justice is what remorse really is. Because a parole board would ask you if you have remorse, but I don't even think the parole board members understand what remorse is. I've met short timers along the way that say they're sorry, but like Chris says in his book, that's not remorse. Being sorry is not, and taking responsibility, that's not remorse either. To quote something he said, remorse is when you realize you've done something irrevocably wrong and you live your life from it. And I have, that hit home with me so well because I try to live my life that way, even behind bars. Because that's the only way to change yourself and change society is to show people a better you, you know. And that's how you make up for the mistakes you've made, is change yourself.
So. Yes. Actually, Karen, I have to tell you, I met Chris Wilson in person 3 weeks ago.
Good.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago. We went and I met him in person, and we actually, the previous episode, that one that was just released, is with him. Taylor interviewed Chris Wilson. And I read that book too, and I was crying in several points because I had never been in prison, but it gave me a really good view of how things are, how you feel, and all the injustice, how if you don't hold into something, you can feel love. and you can just become part of the system. So I, as I was mentioning you before this interview, I don't think I could do one day in person. I have to be honest. And I feel a lot of the parole board, they don't understand the concept of remorse. And the top in crime, all these prosecutors and judge and policemen that want harsh sentences, they don't understand what it is to live one day, 2 days, 1 week, 10 years or 20 years in prison. They don't, really don't understand the impact in somebody's life.
Right.
I feel like for them it's so easy to say, oh, 10 years not enough, 20 years not enough, life is not enough. Who are they? What screen do they have to realize if that punishment is right or not? So it was very touchy, and I'm really glad that you brought that book, because I really agree with you. His testimony is quite amazing. And I would love one day if you would write your own testimony, Karen. I feel that I'm sure that you do have a lot of to share too.
I would love to. I don't know if I have the talent that he has at writing, but maybe someone else could help me along the way with that. But I think I have a help to give people. I do. Hope and help at the same time, I would hope. Yeah. So I think that would be a good thing. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sure that you have something to share, and I'm sure that from all your loved ones, somebody will be there to help you write that your story, and I would love to read it. And I really hope that the end of the book is also a happy ending, where you are out and you're able to accomplish, change more lives from the outside. So I would love to see that.
I have no doubt that his book changed many lives. So I would love to have that aspiration and that goal to me, for my life to also help people. Because, some people don't realize that I could be their sister, their niece, their daughter, Young kids have to realize that when they come to those forks in the road, like in my life, the decision to pick up drugs and the decision of who I hung around, it changed the course of my life forever. And it changed the course of that young man's life. It changed the course of life forever. And I just think that's an important statement to get out to young people, that whether they're in high school, college, whatever, they're making those choices on their own. But they've got to understand that life and freedom are consequences sometimes. So it's important to get out to our young people.
Agreed.
And for the adults that may listen to our conversation, be there for somebody that you see going down that path. Try to reach out or use their voice like you are about the injustices. Get more people involved so we can make changes.
We need change, Karen. And I really hope that soon you can be here out so you can help us be the voice for everybody. Because you're just one case of many with this project, with the Life of Life, with the same conviction, all this stuff. Every day I hear more stories, and they're not exception. There are a lot of guys and women, men and women, that deserve to be out, deserve another chance. And just the system doesn't allow them because of our rules and legislation that don't make sense. Don't make sense. They don't serve the country, they don't serve our safety, they serve something that is not working. Like, if you look into a different countries like Norway, where the maximum amount of time that you get is 20 years, and they could actually stop you, prevent you to get out. It all depends. They have different systems, like parole. After 20 years, you get there, they evaluate you, and then they make the decision. But it's a smart way to do things. Here in Washington, I know people that are spending 40 years or more for things that don't make sense.
Right. There should be a cap. We should give them a chance to show. And, if we've proven that we've changed, if we've proven that we are helping people, even from the inside, just like Chris is helping people out there now, we could be out there helping the next generation, and our incarceration rate could go way down, and the violence could go down, and the understanding could go up.
Yes, yes, I agree.
I basically grew up here in prison. You know, I've been here so long, and, you know, I haven't done it on my own. I give credit where credit is due. You know, I was smart enough when I came in to get group therapy to hang around older prisoners. Basically, like Chris said, you know, to start out on a calm path and do it the right way. And I've been blessed with family and friends and people that have been interested in them. Not everybody has that. And when I get out, I'd like to be that for somebody, too, you know, to help mentor them along the way.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I would have missed it. Well, Karen, before we wrap for the day, I would like to ask you if there's anything else that you'd like to share with the people or listeners.
First, I'd like to say thank you for the goals that you set for yourself and the goals that you're reaching for people. And I'd like to say thanks to everybody that supports you in your endeavors. And just thanks for giving me a voice. And thanks to my family and friends who believe in me. And I'm just going to ask for prayer for change, not only for myself, but for other people. And if people feel led, like yourself, to help me in my search for freedom, I appreciate it. Maybe sign the petition if they feel led to. It's on change.org. Or send me a note. I'm a good pen pal. Or just support you. Just support you and your goals.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate you. And hopefully soon we get great news. We hear great news. And maybe we can have you back once things get put into place. So I want to thank you, Karen. I wish you the best. I really hope so. And I will definitely put all the information of your campaign, Jean, share everything with me. So I'm going to make sure everything's available for everybody. So again, I want to thank you and thank everybody. And this was Life Well, Life First.